You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources has a limited number of PVS-30 night vision scopes for $4,700. These are the top-of-the-line night vision scopes used by the U.S. military, which normally sell for over $11,000. Turn your 12-hour rifle into a 24-hour rifle. Visit Ready-Made Resources to get your PVS-30 today. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. This is the second half of my recent appearance on the God and Guns podcast with Troy and Doug. Enjoy the show.
When you have a fiat currency caused by Nixon going off the gold standard back in the 70s, the full faith and credit of the United States, of the people of the United States, you set us up for it, you know, 40 something years ago. So now we're dealing with what happens when you go off and become a banana republic and start, you know, printing paper monopoly money. But, yeah, I thought that, you know, I just want to say that I thought your 7-step plan is a great way to ease into it. It's like getting into the pool slowly and not freezing and jumping all in like I did. And
but now,
because you can't,
the way you did it,
go ahead.
The way you did it is still better than the way a lot of people are going to do it, because they're going to wait until, you know, they're already broadcasting the new on the news, the riots, and then they're going to run to the grocery store. And they're not going to be taking credit cards, and they're going to hit the ATM, and it's going to be empty, and they're going to run back home, and they're going to be trying to dig quarters and pennies out of the couch and run back to the store, and everything's going to be gone, and they're going to spend a lot of resources and risk their lives to get nothing. So even your panic mode, while not the best way to do it, is a lot better than the way a lot of people are going to do it.
Yeah. Back in 2007, 6, 7, whenever he was, he gave me the book. You know, there were preppers out there, and but they weren't as mainstream as it is now. I mean, it was sort of like a, you know, dirty secret in the closet kind of thing. And to a lot of degree, I mean, I'm not out there broadcasting, wanting everybody to know that I did prepping. But, I mean, in the community we grew up in, Doug and I, and your grandparents, it's, we found out that they were from a local area. You raised a lot of your own food. You had your own gardens. You had cattle. You could milk cattle. You know, milk cows if you wanted to milk cows. We had dairy farmers all around us. Doug worked for a dairy farmer up the road from there for a while. And so,
long time.
Yeah. So we have resources here. And that's one of the reasons I moved from where I was at up here, because I've got, you know, 300 something acres here that I can live off of. Whereas where I was at was a little bit of a rocky hill and 10 acres. So it wouldn't grow much, and it was, but it was a good defensible position. But other than that, but the process of getting into prepping, we got to remember that God is in control, and that if you got your salvation secured and your family knows God and you're teaching the word, everything else will fall into place. You know, worst thing that can happen is you die and you get to go to heaven, is the way I always see it. And so, the part about before you die, it can be really bad. Like we're talking about the persecution. We don't want to belittle that, because I think these books, how things could be. And that's the biggest fear I have. It's not for me personally, and not even, I mean, to my wife to a greater degree than myself. I mean, but to my children, you know, how are they going to deal with a world that looks like Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt series? And so, you know, I work on teaching them how to shoot. I work on teaching them how to do all kinds of different skills and first aid. And that's where a lot of my focus has been, is preparing my children to be able to deal with that world that could be, may be. At the worst case scenario is that they don't ever need to use it, and they just have a lot of good, cool skills that they can take out with their kids down the road. But And the worst, you know, and the best, you know, if they have to use it, then they'll have those skills. And so I don't know. I don't know the, your age or the age of your children or anything like that, but my, you know, my kids are from 25 to 11. And so it's been a struggle to not make them fearful of what could be, but yet still give them the skills they're going to need to be able to deal in that kind of environment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important to, and get your kids out to just to go camping and to just to get them away from the TV and the video game and the Facebook and whatever else, that just consumes them and drags you away from nature, you know, just getting outside and being around God's creation. Just, it does something for you. It clears your head and, it gives you perspective.
I think it grounds you. I think that you get out in nature and it sort of, I think it de-stresses you. It takes the stress. It takes the worry out of you as long as it's a good, you know, somewhat controlled environment, not just out in the middle of nowhere. But, yeah, I agree with you 100%. So you told us a little bit about your background, and you got into prepping. And so did you do like me? Did you jump in into the deep end and struggle to swim, or did you, systematically as an accountant work your way through that?
Yeah, we probably started with, you know, putting aside a little gold and silver. And then, I think the second thing I bought was gas masks, which really freaked my wife out. and then from there we started on food storage, and we were in a really small apartment when we started prepping. So, we had to and we were on a tight budget, and she really came on board with the whole couponing thing. So
yeah,
after we finally got out of that apartment and got in our first house, did some things to try to give us a little bit more storage space because it was still sort of a small house. And she was able to acquire an entire year's worth of food on our regular, grocery budget without going over by using coupons. She'd shop the buy one, get one free deals. And then she'd have a store coupon and a manufacturer's coupon that she would use for the buy one item. And then she'd have another store coupon and another buy one, manufacturer coupon for the free item. So by the time you do that on both items, now they're almost both free. And so she just started really stocking up a lot of spaghetti sauce and pasta and cereal and canned vegetables. And of course, rice is really cheap. You know, you can buy a 20-pound bag of rice from Walmart for $7. And then, you know, you have to do something with that or you're going to get critters in it. And you can go to Home Depot, you can get a bucket for $3 and you get one of those cheap lids for $1.50 and stick on there. Or if you want something a little, that's going to keep them out. But once you open that lid, you've broken that seal. Now you can go on Amazon and you can buy the Gamma Seal lids, which you put the seal on and it stays sealed and the center of the lid screws out. And it's got another seal that's reusable. So you can get in and out of your buckets. I think those lids are, if you buy like 10 of them, they're about $10 a piece. If you're buying them one at a time, I think they're closer to 15. But, you know, if you've got the budget for that, they're worth it. If you don't, just get the cheap $3 bucket and the cheap $1.50 lid and throw your $7 bag of rice in there. And you got food for two people for almost 2 weeks in a 20 pound bag of rice. It'll keep you alive. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out silver.com today. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com.
Yeah, the most expensive part about the food purchasing is fats. With children, you got to focus on having enough fat for them, for their brain growth and things like that. And it's just the most, when you really find out about, inflation, when you go to buy coconut butter or you go to buy oils, because those things have a value, you know, that's sold across, you know, many countries. And so you're paying probably the true value when you go to buy fat or protein, like, you know, your meats, your proteins like that. You can buy the vegetables and you can buy the carbohydrates pretty reasonable. But when you go to look for things that are going to have long-term storage and long-term use, those things are premiums. You know what I'm saying? That's when you get to digging into your pocket pretty deep. And I had a lot of people say, well, you know, all that rice and stuff's not good for you. I said, you're going to be burning those calories because you're going to be out there raking and hoeing that garden. You're not going to have a tractor out there. You're not going to have a combine that's going to get this stuff. You're going to be working a lot harder and you'll be burning a lot more calories. So, you know, buy all the rice you can buy all the beans you can buy, because you'll be burning that and you'll be happy to have a little bit of meat you've got.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're getting a little off into the woods here. People are like, where are they going with this stuff? But so I got into prepping. I read every one of Jim Rawls's books and have continued to read as he's gone through the series. And the biggest thing for me was trying to not get depressed, not get overcome. Either you become apathetic and you're like, I just can't do it, and I quit. And I've got friends that have done it. You know, I can't keep this up. I can't keep stressing out the wife and the kids and stuff. I'm like, there's no need to stress it out. You know, you need to put your faith in God that he's going to provide for your needs. At the end of the day, God's going to provide for your needs, or he's going to bring you home, one or the other. And so from another Christian who's a prepper, how do you overcome those times of apathy when you just want to give up, or this the overwhelming stress of, you know, to be honest, when I'm reading one of your books, I have to like stop and like go outside, take a breath, or go for a drive, or go, you know, wrestle with one of the kids, because you can become really depressed in this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's never been a depressing thing for me at all. I look at it from the perspective of the Bible. You look at Noah. He's one of the first preppers, you know. Calamity's coming, you know, everybody in the earth is just wicked and evil. I'm going to wipe them all out except for you. Go build a boat and stock it up. Okay? So he gets his mission and he just goes and he just does it, you know? But there's a limit to what he can do. He can build the boat, he can get it stocked up, but he's not going to be able to go out and round up two of every animal. It's beyond his human capacity to do that. So, right. God sends them two by two. So, mm-hmm. Noah does his best, and then God does the rest. And I think that's the pattern. And I think that if you'll do that, now, had Noah not built the boat, you know, what was going to happen? I don't know, because he did. But, you know, I think that we have a responsibility. We have to fulfill our responsibility, you know. Paul says, you know, if you don't provide for the needs of your family, you're worse than a pagan or unbeliever.
Right.
Now, yeah, that's living in the world that we live in and looking at history, looking at, like you said, the collapse of nations, the collapse of economies, we haven't even started to get into the way God deals with a nation that's turned its back on him. And that's right. Not replacing theology. I'm not saying, oh, America's the new Israel, because I know, I don't agree with that. But it's not just Israel. When you read the Old Testament that God dealt with, when you read Isaiah, you know, he's dealing with the northern kingdom of Israel. You know, you've turned your back on me. I'm sending in the Assyrians, the southern kingdom. I'm sending, you know, you've turned your back on me. I'm sending in Babylon. But he also has, he also pronounces judgment against Egypt and Put and Cush and Babylon and Assyria in every single, nation in the known universe in Isaiah. So, you know, so many of the prophecy books are about, you know, other countries besides just Israel. You know, Jonah was sent to Nineveh, the capital city of the Assyrians, you know. So it's not just Israel, that God says, if you reject me, you know, if I've blessed you and you reject me, then I'm going to withhold those blessings. And we've got to be close to that breaking point right now. You know, I'm hoping that we're going to get some things turned around under Trump. But, you know, right now, as we're speaking, still 3,200 Americans a day are murdered in abortion mills. More than 9/11, Columbine, Sandy Hook, and Oklahoma City combined. They're killed every single day. And, you know, and back to the church thing, you don't want that blood on your hands because you supported a lukewarm pastor who feared the IRS more than God. You know, you want to make sure that you're engaged in the fight and that you belong to a congregation that's engaged in this fight against abortion, because this is the most wicked thing. And that's something that came up over and over in the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah, was the fact that, you know, they were sacrificing their children to Baal. You know, their little babies, they were sacrificing them to Baal, the Israelites were.
Right.
You know, and he's calling them to account for this innocent blood, and we've got the exact same thing happening in this country.
Right. Yeah, when you get into let's see, where we're at in Chronicles, we're talking about if my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. I don't think that even, you know, a lot of people apply God's blessing to Israel alone, but Israel was not per se, I'm of the idea that wherever Christians are found, if they're being obedient to God and they're being prayerful and they're repenting of their sin and they're asking for God's blessing, that God, through this promise, I feel like in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I feel like that those people who are in that land, they're Christians, they're going to be blessed. Now, other people around them might be blessed because of their presence, but they're also going to be under oppression for being in a country who is disobedient to God, because we know that Israel time and time again would have its neighbors come in and for God's judgment upon them and wipe them out and take them captive and take them to the other countries. You know, we see that over and over throughout the history of Israel. So, yeah, I don't know that, you know, I don't see America as the new Israel in any form or fashion, but I think that wherever you're at, if you're being obedient to God, I think he's going to bless you. I think he's going to, you know, bless your family and provide for your needs. Now, I don't live in the prosperity thing that, you know, whatever you ask for, God's going to give you. And, I believe that, you know, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be killed for his name. I mean, he tells us that as well. But I believe if we are trying to honor God and living, in a repentant life, I think that he will do what he said he would do.
Amen.
And so the other flip side of that is, you know, with Trump coming in, you know, Doug and I joke about it, you know, every time we talk since the election, it's like Christmas morning. You know, every morning you get up, it's like, oh, the burden is off. But really, the burden's not off. I mean, if you look what's going on, the war's still going on. The battle's still going on. Now, we
Absolutely.
Might have the Trump card, but the trouble is that that doesn't necessarily guarantee that things are going to go the right way. We've got to stay on top of this as believers and not to go back to sleep for 4 more years, but we've got to stay on this thing every day. We've got to stay focused on the issues at hand, you know, our national security, the walls, and making sure that, you know, we don't do anything more to offend God as a nation. We need to try to turn back a lot of these just unholy practices of our government in so many aspects. I mean, when you go overseas and you visit these other countries and you see what the products of America are in those countries, I've told it to our listeners before, but when I traveled around Europe, every bit of the music you heard, I mean, 90% of it was American music. And it was talking about sex and drugs and whatever. And the movies that come out of this country, the television shows that come out of this country. So when you hear people say the great Satan, well, if all you see is American television, American movies, and American music, you would think, yeah, they're the great Satan, right?
We're the number one exporter of pornography.
Yeah, and number one exporter of guns and ammunition. I mean, we have a face to the rest of the world that Americans just don't realize. And so there is some validity when these countries say America is evil. Well, what we export is a lot of evil. And when we come in there and destroy whole countries with our military because of the policies of certain things, those things don't bode well with us. And so not bode well with our enemies and bode well with those in the rest of the world. So, you know, it's a perspective you don't necessarily get, you know, living here inside the States and not traveling.
Right.
So let me see. I've been wandered off in the woods again. You guys got to rein me in, man.
Hey, so I was going to tell you while we were talking, I do not consider myself a prepper by no means. I'm just not. Now, I do stock up on guns and ammo and other things, but while you were talking, I went ahead and downloaded, signed up and downloaded the PDF that you were talking about. And, lo and behold, I may be part prepper after all.
You're a prepper. You just didn't know it.
Yeah. I guess I had to have a mail to spell it out.
You and Ella can, y'all can walk out in the woods and, or walk and take your boat or take your fishing pole and you can feed your family. You wouldn't have any problem to, and you got,
well, that's just friend part of, too. That's just being part of, being a country boy. You know, yeah. that just comes natural to us. But, right. You know, some of the other, you know, I was reading some of the seven steps and hey, I got about a little over half of them already covered.
There you go.
Some of those start. I thought it would be.
Very good.
But I mean, as we were saying earlier, you know, your grandmother was genesis for one of the characters in one of your books you were saying. And, you know, that was the same way with my grandparents on both sides. You know, they were farmers and, they lived off the land and, they were able to produce food and just had that skill set that 95% of America doesn't have anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they would have never called themselves preppers either. There was no such term. That's the way everybody lived. You know, they'd been through they'd been through the Depression, so they had some idea that, you know, you don't really want to trust the banks and the fiat currency system too much because that can flip on a dime. We know that there's bad weather some years. We know there's drought some years. So we're gonna can up extra, and it's not gonna be just for the winter. It's gonna be for the winter plus, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they always had deep larders, you know. So they wouldn't have called themselves preppers, but they were very self sufficient. They were capable of defending themselves, capable of coming together as a community. My grandmother, you know, she did grow up in the Depression in Southern Kentucky, and, she did a lot of bartering, you know, and they just, it was just their lifestyle.
Right. Right. Hey, you know, a lot of that is coming back though. A lot of the barter, I mean, through Craigslist and through Facebook Marketplace and all these things, you have a lot of people trading goods and services that aren't going through the economic, you know, not using the dollar, or they're trading this for that and just bypassing that whole tax system.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Hey, let me throw something else at you real quick. We get into, and this is, Mark, this is for you, kind of, I don't know if you're a fan, if you're not a fan. I unfortunately am, and I watch that show, The Walking Dead. And people always laugh at me like, it's just about those zombies and stuff. I'm like, no, it's not. That's just something for the TV show. Mm-hmm. What it's really showing you is the end of time when that does happen. And it's the exact same thing we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. You know, you store your things up and you got to fend for yourself and defend the things that you have. And to me, that's what that show's all about. Whether they know it or not, it's all about the end of time and prepping.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife doesn't like it. She's the zombie scare. But there was a show that was out years ago. It was called Jericho.
Yes.
And it took place, in middle America. And it was, there was a terrorist attack that took out several U.S. cities. And they only ran about 2.5 seasons of it and they cut it. I can't imagine that it was because it wasn't getting the ratings. You know, maybe it was a little ahead of its time. I don't know, because this was,
I think it was too close to home.
Yeah. Yeah.
But right. But they were also touching on a lot of, you know, kind of government's conspiracy type stuff too, that I think you're right, Troy. I think it might have been just touching a little too close to home. And I think it's possible they could have been told to scrap it, but you can still get those from your library or Netflix you might be able to just watch it. I can't remember what network it was on, but you can probably watch the old episodes from the actual network and just Google Jericho. But it was a good show. It was that same type of thing without the zombies.
Yeah,
there were several sort of shows that had that flavor to them, you know, of and you're on your own and community, how that looked when it was, you know, everyone's working together to try to keep the community going, kind of a thing. And I think Oath Keepers is doing a really good job. I don't know if you're plugged in with Oath Keepers now, but they have a plan for you to build community, build communications and training, and you get medical training, firearms training, team training, you know, for reconnaissance. And they're working on trying to get a press group together. See the things coming down the pike. I mean, these are retired military police and EMTs and active. I apologize, Mark, because I've not had the time to go through all your shows, and I know you're pretty prolific in a lot of your shows. I didn't know if you've touched on Oath Keepers at all or not.
Yeah, I had a representative from, not Stuart Rhodes, but I had a representative from Oath Keepers on the show maybe 2 years ago, but I mentioned them in the books. So it's a great organization, and it's something I'm so glad that they're out there and reminding, you know, mm-hmm. our military and our law enforcement why they're there and what they're doing, and that their first responsibility is to the Constitution.
Right.
And I think that's important.
They take an oath to the Constitution. Yeah, I think that's been beneficial in helping sort of put a lid on a lot of the stupid stuff that the government was straying off into. I think that's helped a lot of people stand up and say, hey, this is unconstitutional, and have actually had to learn the Constitution or read the Constitution, understand that they're doing things outside of the limits within that the government has in the Constitution. And we've had Stuart on the show a couple of times. He's a great guy. But there's just so many different aspects of being a prepper, you know, Christian prepper, especially. I looked at Jim and told me they relocated up the American Redoubt up in, of course, Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, that little corner of the country. And I'd made several trips out there and looked. And I tell you, as a believer, I'm more comfortable here in Kentucky, Tennessee area. I know, you know, earthquakes and all that, we're on a karst system and we're close to the New Madrid Fault and all. But if you look at Kentucky on a map, where water's at, Kentucky, Tennessee's green. We get lots of rainfall. We get moderate temperatures. We have full four seasons. But we're in that Bible Belt. And I have a network of friends and believers across the state, on surrounding states as well, that I think it would bode me better to stay here than to move up to that American Redoubt area and try to survive those brutal winters amongst a population that's not necessarily Bible believing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, no, they've got their share of liberalism up there as well, and you know, and you got the Cascadia Fault in Western Washington. You've got,
and they're sitting on top of a boiling cauldron of volcanic.
You're right next to Yellowstone, and if that thing ever pops, you know, it's the ash cloud is going to completely wipe out that right, area. It's a nice place, but you know, if you're in a good place and you're connected and you've got community, that's so important. And when you uproot and you go to somewhere and now, you know, you're not used to hunting for game in that area. You know, you're not used to those trails. You're not used to the landscape there. You've got a whole nother learning curve that you don't have. Kentucky is a very survivable place. And I think Northern Georgia and, Eastern Tennessee and the Carolinas, you know, most of my books kind of usually end up in those states. You know, I guess, Jim Rawls has already kind of written the Northern Idaho book. So I guess you know, but that's the areas that I know and it's the areas that I love and the whole Southern Appalachian Range. I love the landscape and I love the people. And, and I think it's a very survivable place. And there's a lot of that mentality that Doug said, you know, I'm not a prepper, but I'm a country boy and a country boy can survive, you know, right. And you don't necessarily, you know, you're going to fare better having that skill set and that mindset and those connections in that country boy community than the guy in downtown Atlanta that's got 3 years worth of food, because somebody's going to kick his door in and take all that.
Yep.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of them talk about, well, I'll just buy guns and then I'll just go around and take the food from the other people.
Well, most preppers have guns too.
Country boys do too.
You got to take a defended position. Which, usually I think they say the ratio is typically, you know, 3-1 unless you're very highly trained to do that.
At least, yeah. Unless you catch them unguarded or, asleep or whatever. Yeah. I've heard all kinds of, you know, how they're going to deal with the end of the world. I'm just going to come and take your stuff. I've had people actually post that and send me emails. Well, I'm just going to come and take your stuff.
Good luck.
Thank you.
I'm going to come stay with you.
Good luck.
Yeah, you're not going to come stay with me because I'm not going to be where you think I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Come and take it, baby. That's what I say.
Come.
I'll feed you lid first.
Come and try.
No, but I mean, part of being a Christian prepper is that I'm trying to prepare for my neighbors and for my extended family, because you know that you're not going to turn away hungry neighbor kids, and you know you're not going to turn away hungry relatives to some degree. I mean, yeah, I'm going to put them to work. So anyway, but I mean, you know, as a believer, we trust that God's going to provide for us. We're to give to widows and to orphans, not to everybody that walks up. We're to give to widows and orphans, as I understand it. How about you, Mark? Is that what your understanding is in the Bible?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And widows and orphans, everybody else should be working to provide for themselves.
Yeah. And I'm going to put those orphans to work too, you know, train them up. Cause
they don't do them no good just to feed them.
Yeah. I don't want to sit. It's just, you know, it's not helping. It's not helping society very much to have them sitting on the couch, smoking pot, watching Oprah and reproducing.
You're our kind of people, Mark.
Yeah. Look how that's been working out.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. I want to give a chance to go ahead and plug where they can find Prepper Recon and videos and books and all that.
Yeah, you go to PrepperRecon.com. I post two podcasts every week. I do one on Monday, and the other one comes out on Wednesday. I do a Prepper Bible Study that comes out every Sunday, and that's just a blog. The Monday and Wednesdays are audio podcasts. All my books are listed on the either side of the website, and you can just click straight through to Amazon to get those, or you just click through and check them out and see if it's something that you can read the blurb about them and see if it's something that you're interested in. They're all available in paperback. They're available in Kindle edition, and they're all available on audio because, you know, a lot of folks they've got that time during, you know, when they're commuting to work or cutting the grass or cleaning the AR or whatever you happen to be doing, reloading, whatever it is that you're doing. Right. And, you can be listening to, a good novel, and it's all clean. You know, there's no four letter words in there. There's no torrid sex scenes. You know, you can't get that on television, and it's very, very difficult to get that on books these days. You know, there's just so much filth, and, you know, whatever you're putting in your mind is what you're going to get out. So, you know, I've really strived to produce something that's not going to quench the spirit inside you, and something that I can be proud of as a Christian to write and provide clean entertainment for folks. So it's just they're fun reads, you know, whether you're into prepping or not. They're fun, and you know, they're great characters in there, and you know, a lot of gunfights. So
what I really appreciate about your books is you have a gospel presentation in every one of them. I
mean, yeah,
there's a presentation of the gospel, or you know, there's a repentant heart or people change, and it's not over bearing. It's a nice presentation in every one of them that I've read of, you know, that's a free gift, and you can accept it or you can reject it.
Absolutely. And don't forget to just stop by PrepperRecon.com and click the free PDF banner and get your free copy of the 7-Step Survival Plan.
In A Haunt for Jackals by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, Danny Walker's survival retreat has been devastated by violence since the detonation of the EMP. Regent Slusher's designs on absolute power have already brought him to Danny's doorstep once, leaving a trail of blood and heartbreak in his wake. Another conflict with a malicious dictator will spell certain death for the remaining members of the compound. Danny's only hope is to infiltrate Slusher's camp and bring him down from the inside. It's a risky proposition. If he is caught, he'll be executed as a spy, but there is no other alternative. In this epic struggle between good and evil, Danny's mettle will be tested, his faith will be tried, and he'll have to dig deep for the courage to continue. Buy your copy of A Haunt for Jackals, Book 3 of 7 Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.